Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But since the coronavirus shut down, I have been recording at my house, on my walks in my neighborhood, just trying to stay safe and stay sane and keep teachers informed while we figure out how to adjust to this new normal that is our life and teaching remotely during the coronavirus. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. New episodes drop every day during the school week, Monday through Friday. We used to do once a week for the coronavirus pre-times, but now during this school shutdown, we'll do it every day for the rest of the school year. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe, like, leave a comment, and it helps people find the podcast. Today, we're talking about Tiger King and what we can learn as a classroom teacher from Tiger King. How about that? that sounds like the worst podcast idea ever, but believe it or not, there's a lot of great things to borrow from this Netflix style of binge learning and binge teaching and binge watching. We'll get to that in a second. Again, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe. If you want to shoot me a message on Twitter, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I love teaching. I want to get stronger. I want to get better at it. And so I offer my ideas, my hypotheses, my opinions, my predictions. As an instructional coach, I work with teachers across the country. In my own building, I work as an English classroom teacher, but also as a teacher trainer through professional development for our entire faculty. So my goal is to offer tricks and tips that could work for your content, no matter what your content area is. Good teaching is good teaching, and best practices in an era of Netflix look very different than they used to look in a time of must-see television. We'll get to all that stuff. And if you want to follow up and message me further on Twitter, I'm MeehanEDU, and I would gladly talk with you anytime about any teaching stuff. I also have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. Because I'm fired up to teach, and I want to share templates and resources and anything I can do to help get that distance learning thing kickstarted for you. So yeah, let's do it. All of that said, let's talk about Tiger King. If you haven't had a chance to get on Netflix, the latest binge-worthy show the whole world is talking about is the story of a man from Oklahoma who runs a zoo. That's sort of a roadside attraction, maybe not a high-end zoo, but the man's name, he goes by Joe Exotic. He's a very flamboyant character, a very loud character. He happens to be gay. He also happens to be a polygamist. He also happens to take care of large cats and have this large compound. Oh, yeah. And there's a murder-for-hire subplot because apparently there was a number of people who were out to get him, so he decided to go out to get them, and there was a national federal case brought against the man that ended up with him in jail. So this is sort of train wreck television. Think Jerry Springer meets True, like, Making a Murderer. And what's interesting about the Joe Exotic story, or the Netflix Tiger King TV special, is it's so bad you can't stop watching it. It's so shocking. It's so salacious. There's more twists and turns in every piece of the puzzle. I mean, a zoo with large animals is by itself already some sort of, you know, shocking and provocative television. Then I come to find out that pretty much everyone who's involved in these big cats is a little oddball, and we don't know who the good guys are in the show. It's very cleverly edited that just when you start feeling sympathy for somebody, we learn some information about them. Joe's biggest rival is a woman named Carol Baskin, she runs like an ethical big cat rescue, which in theory sounds like a great thing to stack up against this, you know, exploitative breeding and shipping of animals thing that he does in this roadside zoo. Except we come to find out that Carol's second husband went missing, and his body has never been recovered. He was pronounced dead 5 years and one day after he was gone, but there's a possibility he might have been chopped up and fed to the tigers, ? Not great. She also happened to inherit millions of dollars, and she's a bit of a given a presentation of a bit of a kook as well in the thing. So we don't know who to trust, right? Did Joe do this? Did he take a hit out on this lady? Does she have other people who are out to get her for other reasons? Blah, 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 blah. We then come to find out that Joe's involved with a series of really bad business dealings, up to and including bringing in people who are financiers who may or may not be involved with felony convictions of their own, drug trades, and all sorts of things. On top of it, apparently everyone who's involved in this big cat rescue or these big cat tigers have very seedy personal lives, up to and including like a lot of, let's say, romantic subplots that really have nothing to do with the care and protection of large animals. So what happens is for 6 or 7 hours, you find yourself glued and fascinated to like this awful mess of who these people are and just how it ends up where our hero, maybe not our hero, but our protagonist, Joe, finds himself on the wrong end of a federal conviction. And with 20 counts against him of animal cruelty and murder for hire, he ends up locked in jail, I think, for 20 plus years by the end of our series. Major spoiler. Now, what does this have to do with English class, science class, math, social studies, world languages, religion, etc., etc., etc.? Netflix is really good at making us have a thing to talk about. This is so compelling. This is so gripping. This is so train wrecky that we can't look away from it. And what's interesting about that is whether you're old or young, rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight, or anywhere else, you know, in any socioeconomic spectrum, it seems like the world over is talking about this Joe Exotic thing during this time of this COVID lockdown. So in a lot of ways, there's a universal language of this documentary series. It's presenting these people as if they're freaks and weirdos and misfits in this weird Southern parade of oddities. But it's showing the world, behind the curtains of this world of this seedy underbelly, these zoos, these exploitative animal parks, and the bad things that kind of come with that or come from that. I think that's really fascinating because what they've done, low-key, and I want to lean in real close when we say this, is they've tricked you into doing a little bit of history, a little bit of research, a little bit of learning. Because just like that, after watching the show, everyone walks away knowing a lot more about roadside zoos than they ever knew before. And if I was to ask you 2 months ago, do you care about roadside zoos? You'd be like, nope, not so much. There might be political reasons where I was like, hey, do you want to watch a TV show about polygamists or persons who are LGBT or murder for hire plots? You're like, nah, I'm good, thanks. Not really my cup of tea. Maybe your own religious affiliations make you say that these are things that you find, you know, that you wouldn't want to be a part of your daily consumption of media. And all those things make sense because we all come from different walks of life and different backgrounds, right? But there's something that's universal about this TV show in that what it does so brilliantly is it gives you the illusion as if they are an outsider like we are an outsider, just sort of staring, jaw-dropped at all the weird and crazy stuff that happens. Whether you have these folks who have no legs or one arm because they've been bit off or torn off by these violent encounters with animals or, you know, these awful farm accidents, or whether you have these characters who do all sorts of extreme crazy stuff in their free time. You got a lot of talk about casual use of drugs and things like that. Firearms, you know, like there's explosions, right? It's so messed up because it's so foreign to your understanding. But what it's done really well is it's taken you into the world of that place and just dropped you in. Not unlike Ryan Howard in the first seasons of The Office. He's the outsider to the world of Michael Scott and all the crazy that goes on there. So we see the world through Ryan's eyes, and we can't help but look at this like with our jaw on the floor. I can't believe this is unfolding, and I want to see more of it. In fact, Breaking Bad and The Office, long before Tiger King, were in the pop culture lexicon that everyone knew those stories, right? Everyone has seen those episodes. Everyone has binge-watched those shows. And Tiger King does the same thing in a way that allows everyone to say, look, you don't have to watch every episode, but there's something in every episode that will make you want to watch the next episode. So it becomes part of the conversation. And then we have these shareable things like memes and cultures about, did Carol Baskin kill her husband? Or, you know, why does Joe Exotic get 3 husbands when I don't have any husbands? Things like that, right? People who are in the know become in the conversation, and it becomes de rigueur or trending to talk about the latest, like, oh, you have to watch episode 2 or episode 3 or episode 4. And what Netflix did brilliantly is they just dropped the whole series and said, watch it as much as you want, watch as long as you want. And that makes people want to go in and watch more of it. They're hungry for new episodes. They want to see, like, where do these people end up? What's the latest story on them? Like, do we know where they are since the time of the filming all stopped? So what if our classes look like that? What if you gave your unit content and it was presented in a shocking, salacious kind of package that is encouraging people to want to dig more and learn more? I'm in a conference call today with another teacher who's a teacher of social studies. They were like, look, but there's just so much to World War I, or there's just so much to World War II, or there's so much to radical reconstruction in the South. And these are all true. As fans of this stuff ourselves, we become like the experts who know that there are hours and hours and days and days and weeks and months and years of research that can continue down that avenue. But we have to kind of think of our content curation as if we were a producer of a Netflix-style limited-run program. whether it's about Joe Exotic and the Tiger Park, or it's about David Koresh and Waco, which is another binge-worthy TV series, about seven episodes that was just added to Netflix most recently, you get only about 6 or 7 hours to get people to care about this thing. And they have to care really hard about this thing. Now let's take that and calibrate it back. Take half that amount of time, because as a teacher, you only get about 2.5 to 3 hours of, quote, learning, whether it's distance learning or in-person learning, dedicated to each content area each week. You then, as like a TV-style producer, have to think about, what of this whole kit and caboodle can I fit into 2.5 hours or 3 hours worth of binge-worthy learning? We'll spend this week kind of taking apart other tools and other ways we can look at how to create a binge unit, how to create a self-guided unit, how to build in those checkpoints or like a choices, meaningful projects along the way. But consider for yourself, I teach American literature. If I only have 36 weeks with my kids, 32 weeks with my kids, and with distance learning, maybe it's more like 27 or 28 weeks, right? What are the 20 biggest stories that I want them to walk away from my class knowing? Each story would take them to a different world, whether it's Tiger King or Waco, Texas, whether it's the story of Zora Neale Hurston, Their Eyes Are Watching God, or Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. But I know I can't expect that every kid can sit down and put in 14 hours of reading by themselves to a novel. It's just not going to happen. So how can I get them to get the spirit of that novel, the essence of that novel, that desire to learn more, like we see with Tiger King? Because for where I'm sitting, you're talking about sex, you're talking about violence, you're talking about betrayals, you're talking about plots, you're talking about murder, you're talking about legality, you're talking about drugs. These are all like adult themes that draw us to the world of Tiger King, right? But isn't that all the same stuff that drives us into the world of politics, that drives us into the world of, like, global history, the stories of wars, right? You know, like, secret assassinations or betrayals and, like, this intrigue and these seductions that take place in literature and art. The stories of, like, these bigger issues of how cultures differ and why they differ with, like, violent conflicts between them. That's study of world cultures and world languages. The study of, like, epidemics and pandemics and like these dueling research teams that are fighting for a cure or a vaccine against the ticking clock and like maybe a world that refuses to accept or recognize or fund them. That's science, man. That's like the story of why we care about things like Marie Curie or Albert Einstein. The idea of like the race for the Manhattan Project to build the atomic bomb. That's science and history. And if presented in a sort of binge style series, quote unquote, I don't care whether my kids watch that entire series Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but each episode will give them just enough to kind of get excited about, to get their teeth hooked into and say, there's something salacious here, something fun about this, something kind of provocative. I want to be in the know. I want to share in those memes. I want to make those jokes with other people who are likewise having that conversation. And how do we do that? That's the job of a teacher in a 21st century classroom, particularly when it's remote, is we have to make our classrooms appeal to rise above that level of the background noise where they can sit and consume 6 hours or 7 hours of Tiger King. How do we get them to feel comfortable binging 6 or 7 hours of World War One or World War Two? Because Joe Exotic, spoiler, doesn't kill anybody over the course of his TV show, but you still watch 7 episodes to find out what possibly could have happened to have this whole kingdom of his fall apart. Well, then why can't I get the kids to care about the Byzantine Empire or the Roman Empire? Why can't I get them to care about the slave trade? Why can't I get them to care about the Harlem Renaissance? These are the challenges of real-life people who lived and died and suffered and fought. And those human stories is something that goes way back to caveman times, right? It's us sitting around a fire and saying, I have a story you're not going to believe. Hang on. There's murder. There's intrigue. There's mystery. There's love. There's betrayal. There's deception. Are you interested? Like, how do we bait our hooks for those binge-worthy classes and those units that really then say, okay, I got 15 to 20 stories to tell a year. Each one is a limited run series, runs about 6 or 7 episodes, in this case, 3 or 4 hours. And those 3 or 4 hours will get you for a whole week's worth of content. If I do the top 15 stories or the top 15 things, the top 15 skills, the top 15 projects, those 15 things are 15 weeks worth of programming. And then I take the remaining 15 weeks and students are like self-pacing and self-guiding their way through deliverables on that with choice boards and project-based learning that kind of work as a 1-2 punch. Week one, do your binge learn. Week two, do your creations. And then right back and forth we go. So I think there's a lot to be said for this. And I'm really excited to tap into ways that we as educators can continue to borrow best practices from these most unlikely sources, whether that's crazy TV shows like Joe Exotic and Tiger King, or whatever it is in your own personal interest that really can feed and fuel those fires for, like I said, binge-worthy learning in a time where it's hard. It's really hard. And we have to kind of get above the noise in the background of, well, if they can care about tigers and you know, roadside zoos, then there's no reason I can't get them to care about X or Y or Z. And that's our job. That's our call. That's our calling. It'll be hard, but we'll spend this week talking about ways to do some binge learning activities. Thanks again. Stay tuned. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe. Leave a comment or a rating or shoot me a message on Twitter @mehinedu. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll be back again tomorrow with more. Thanks again.